Hello again, everybody. This is Marty Duran with the Fourth Estate Drive Time Edition. It's February 2nd, 2016, a Tuesday, the morning after the Iowa caucuses. The Fourth Estate is brought to you by Jord Watches, woodwatches.com. These are beautiful timepieces. I own two of them, wooden bands, wooden cases. I'm assuming the mechanics are not made out of wood, but the gears and all of that are fine, keeps great time. Check out Jord Watches at woodwatches.com and use the coupon code T4EPODCAST. That's the Fourth Estate, T4EPODCAST, and save 10% on any watch on the site. Thank you again for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe in iTunes as soon as you are done listening. If you're listening on your desktop or your laptop or another non-mobile device, you can also subscribe on iTunes and put it in your podcast lineup, and that would be awesome. While you're at it, please rate and review the Fourth Estate. That helps search results when people go looking for news, podcasts, and things like that. So I would encourage you and ask you to do that. Last night, yesterday evening, state of Iowa, flyover country, cornfields and hogs. Ted Cruz took home the crown. 27.7% of the vote, according to Real Clear Politics, good enough for 8 delegates. Donald Trump and Marco Rubio came in a close second and third, within about a point and a half of each other, good enough for 7 delegates each. Ben Carson, 9.3% of the vote, 3 delegates. Rand Paul, 4.5% of the vote for 1 delegate, and Jeb Bush, 2.8% of the vote, also good enough for 1 delegate. On the Democratic side, for much of the night, Hillary Clinton was above 50%, and Bernie Sanders was well below. I think 52 to 48% is where it stayed for a significant portion of the Democratic reporting. It ended up, apparently, according to, I think, Real Clear Politics or CNN.com, Hillary Clinton with 49.9% and Bernie Sanders with 49.5%. So Clinton gets one extra delegate, 22 to 21. I don't know all of the caucusing details from Iowa. My friend Dave Miller tells me that there's a difference between the way the Democrats and the Republicans caucus, and if you look at the vote totals, you'll see that the votes, the individual numbers are much lower on the Democratic side, and I don't think that's a reflection of the actual votes cast, although I don't know how all of that works in the Iowa caucus system. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, wow, Clinton and Cruz. Well, looking ahead to New Hampshire next week, the latest polls show Trump and Sanders ahead by double digits in New Hampshire. So we could very well see a flip-flop from Iowa to New Hampshire. Looking beyond that, which is still a little early, to Florida and South Carolina, it is Trump and Clinton by double-digit leads all the way. So once we get past New Hampshire, I think a lot of things are going to start shaking out, especially on the Republican side, because you just cannot continue while polling at or getting 1.5 to 3% of the vote. So some of those bottom dwellers on the Republican side will start to fall away after Florida and South Carolina if they don't fall away after New Hampshire. So we're about to enter silly season on the Republican side. Clinton and Sanders will stay in it for a while. O'Malley will drop out in a couple of weeks after he gets a promise of a cabinet position or something like that. And then it'll be on to Super Tuesday and then on to the conventions, and nobody will be surprised by any of those results. So Cruz and Clinton by a whisker last night. Trump and Sanders projected as winners by double digits in New Hampshire as of right now. Then beyond that, it's Trump and Clinton all the way through the rest of the primaries. I was in a waiting room yesterday afternoon when CNN was playing leading up to the caucuses, and a reporter was interviewing Sanders supporters outside of one of the caucus precincts. And she asked, you know, the requisite questions, what do you like about Bernie Sanders? These were millennials that she was interviewing, and I really tried to pay attention because a lot of people think millennials are voting for Trump, or excuse me, voting for Sanders. They think millennials are voting for Sanders because they either don't understand economics or because they want a bunch of free stuff. I've heard both of those things. And Sanders, as the only self-avowed democratic socialist in the race, is seen as the best place to get free stuff. However, none of the people that were interviewed mentioned anything like that. As a matter of fact, when the reporter asked the question, what is socialism, only one of the three could even make a remote stab at what is socialism. The other two just shrugged their shoulders and said, we don't know. We don't have any idea what it is. We've heard of it, but we don't know what it is. And the third one gave a fairly comprehensive, if shallow, I should say a wide but not deep definition of socialism, as exemplified by some of the socialistic things that are already in existence in the United States, that is, social programs funded by public money. So I thought it was interesting that they didn't mention getting student loans canceled. They didn't mention specifically like single payer health care or anything like that. They talked about fairness. They talked about equality. They talked about ethical issues. They see Sanders as the candidate whose platform really addresses ethical issues in the United States through the political system. Now, that may be right or wrong, or a right or wrong approach, or you may agree with Sanders or not, but I did think that of these Iowa caucus goers, at least, even the ones who didn't care for Clinton for various reasons were supportive of Sanders, and it didn't have anything to do with what they were going to get out of it specifically. So I thought that was a nice insight. I've said for a while to my friends, or I've asked and discussed, how many Ron Paul supporters does Bernie Sanders have with him right now? Because if you'll remember, in the 2008 and 2012 elections, Ron Paul was pulling a tremendous amount of disaffected Democratic voters and independent voters because he was seen as kind of the non-organization candidate. He wasn't part of the establishment. He was a little on the fringe, but he'd been in the Senate or in the House for a while and knew the system, but was outside the system. Sanders is seen as much the same way. And I really do think that a lot of Ron Paul's supporters now are supporting Sanders because the diehard Ron Paul supporters think that Rand is too conservative. They think he's too inconsistent. They do not like his willingness to play politics, would be one way to say it. Other people might say his willingness to work inside the system to get things done, i.e. be a politician. So I found a website this morning where Hillary did not directly compare Bernie Sanders to Ron Paul, but alluded to some of his positions as being similar to Ron Paul's. And this was an anti-war blog, which, you know, you don't have to agree with it to read the article, but it's linked on the podcast page in the episode notes. And they were drawing some of the same distinctions, specifically in the area of foreign policy. As you know, Ron Paul is a non-interventionist, which is not an isolationist. And Bernie Sanders carries a lot of those types of philosophies in foreign policy. In other words, why don't we try to build relationships with people through trade rather than keeping them at arm's distance by threat of war? And so specifically Sanders, I think, was talking about Iran and trying to give Iran a chance to prove that it can operate within the sane nations of the world. Don't have time to get into all the stuff about Iran today. Suffice it to say that you can read everything that you want about Iran from an American perspective, and the fact is that there may be some component in every story that has an element of truth, because the political system in Iran is so different from most in the West, and the way that the country is is led is so different than the United States. The president of Iran does not equate to the president of the United States. Their parliament is more like Britain's or Australia's than our Congress. Their parties are much different in extremity than typically American politics are. And so it isn't always easy to know when Iran is being reported on exactly which element is the element that needs to be addressed and which element could possibly be supported in order to try to have better relations. But it is an interesting study, and it's interesting to me that Sanders has that same type of foreign policy idealism, if you will, at least philosophy, that Ron Paul had, that we can try to have friendly relations with nations rather than always being in tension with other nations. So Bernie Sanders, like Ron Paul, I would love to see the percentage of Sanders supporters who supported Ron Paul in the last two elections. But that doesn't bode well for him, because Ron Paul's younger supporters, by and large, did not turn out on voting day in many places, and as a result, he did not do well after Iowa in the 2012 cycle. Thanks for joining me. This is the Fourth Estate Drive Time. I'm Marty Duren. Again, please support my sponsor, Jord Watches, at woodwatches.com. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes or in Stitcher, or just continue listening on your desktop or laptop. And it is so good to have you a part of the Fourth Estate.